Hello and welcome. It is episode 39 of Coffee Talk, and we are back to our weekly schedule. So if you heard us last week and you're hearing us again this week and you're like, what? That's what happened. We're going to be recording every week now for Coffee Talk, trying to help you. We talk a lot about prospects, Nate, but we're probably going to bring that focus back towards major league rosters and redraft, because we are a redraft podcast.
We are.
But I got to sneak the prospects in. It's what I do. Anyway, my name is Trevor Huth. I guess we should get to that first. And I am joined, of course, by Nate Kosher. Nate, how you doing?
Doing well. Excited to announce I am actually going to Arizona tomorrow and hope to catch some spring training baseball. So I haven't done the research yet. I haven't had the time to figure out who I want to watch, where, and, you know, when the games are, specifically who's playing where, but very excited. And trying to figure out how many games I can sneak in without my family, you know, getting annoyed.
It's a baseball trip with family involved as well, I think, is what you're telling us.
Right.
Hopefully your family doesn't listen to this podcast. Anyway, that is going to be fun. That's going to be a lot of fun. I look forward to hearing who you go to see. That does mean
Nate
will not be here next week. We will find somebody to fill in for him, but I will be here next week.
Yeah, so I'll definitely report back once I'm back in a couple weeks. Who I got to see live and pretty excited.
Going to be focused on catchers, right?
Catchers, that's right.
So we have a lot to talk about. Speaking of spring training, we're going to jump into some of that. One thing I am excited about. Well, first of all, I want to shout out some writers at PitcherList. So I just took over recently as one of the managers for the Going Deep section for the PitcherList website. Mm-hmm. And my writers have some really awesome stuff that they're cooking. Some really great stuff. So check out the Going Deep section. We have one of our newer writers, Kyle McCarthy, who's been doing really interesting pieces on bat speed and how that's affecting hitters. And he did one last week that was increased bat speed. Less bat speed came out the day we're recording this, on this Monday. And of course, you know, like Nate Schwartz always has some really good stuff coming out. And I have a number of writers. I know one of them's working on a Jackson Jobe thing. One of them's working on a Nolan Schanuel thing. So really interesting stuff. I want to shout my writers out because I have a platform and they are doing phenomenal things. And I've been loving it.
That's cool.
Before we dive in, wanted to give them a shout out.
If you haven't read Going Deep before, it's where, as it sounds like, sort of the extra statistical analysis, next level stats, like really digging in to look at something. And so they're very interesting articles.
They are, and they always have a pretty good shape to them because you get a lot of numbers. And one thing I've been pushing for is making sure we get some more video involved in it too, so you can kind of see every angle of it, and they answer questions. Like again, the bat speed mm-hmm. one, who's been tinkering with their bat speed and their swing length, honestly, and who's it helping. So again, make sure to check those out. I want to shout those articles out. Now we have other stuff we're going to talk about. Spring training is happening still. We are inching closer and closer to opening day. We have awful pitcher injuries are happening, but we did a lot of injuries last time. I mean, Grayson Rodriguez, Garrett Cole, George Kirby. Those are three that come to mind. They're down for varying times. Grayson Rodriguez theoretically is going to be back and throwing in 7 to 10 days, but you never know with that kind of injury. Garrett Cole's out for the long haul, it seems like, and George Kirby probably going to be a while. So hate
big
to lose
names them too.
Yeah.
Three big names. I saw Cole's going for a second opinion on his arm, but it looks like Tommy John mm-hmm. is in the future.
And one of the things that was talked about in the PitcherList Discord, which if you're not in, I mean, join, because lots of good information happens. I was learning about kick changes the other night, and I super interesting how they throw kick changeups. Like pitchers have added them, like Andres Munoz added one, and it's mm-hmm. net. There's a few other pitchers who had Davis Martin, the opening day starter for the White Sox, has one. It's nasty. So anyway, really good stuff going on in the Discord. This isn't all just going to be me pumping up PitcherList stuff, but the point of this is that in the Discord, somebody was talking about how it probably, like, first opinion most likely was, yes, it's TJ. Second opinion is, okay, do you need internal brace with it? Do you need, like, he, it's mm-hmm. most, it's very unlikely that they're going to come back and be like, no, wait, he's healthy. What are you talking about?
So that makes, we talked about this last week with the Yankees starter and Luis Gil, that now they're down two starters.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So that's going to open up another spot in addition.
Right. And we had talked about Marcus Stroman or Will Warren, and Will now it looks Warren. Like it's going to be Marcus Stroman and Will Warren.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was just thinking. I was thinking that same thing. So Cole, he was hurt. Wasn't he hurt last season? Like he only had a partial season last season.
Only threw like 90 innings last season. So yeah. Unfortunately he'll be 35 by the time next season starts, and he's theoretically on his way back.
Yeah, I think that's not good for him
mm-hmm.
with the age he's at. And ouch.
And two injuries in a row. I mean, it's, we'll have to see how he comes back. You never quite know. Emerson Hancock, probably a name to watch out in replacement for George Kirby, I would think. I don't think, you know, the Mariners have a phenomenal rotation. So I don't think Emerson Hancock had a spot, but now he probably does. Mm-hmm. Former high pick, definitely a guy that I would take a chance on later in drafts if he's available.
Yeah. I was looking at him at one point in my deeper league, and I know he's got to be close to their top three prospects, I would think, for the Mariners.
I think he's out of prospect status, but at one point he was a top 10. He was a top pick at some point. So definitely somebody to keep an eye on. And I mean, there's no reason for any of these guys. Grayson Rodriguez, I mean, that Oriole rotation looks not pleasant at the moment. Roster Resource has Zach Eflin, Charlie Morton, Dean Kremer, Tomoyuki Sugano, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, and Cade Povich as the starting five. And I mean, they really don't have a whole lot coming behind it. Chase McDermott still is hurt. Kyle Bradish. They have a lot of pitchers who are hurt, and they don't have the best pitching prospects. Ronzi Contreras is somebody they were stretching out just in case. So, I mean, not great options in the Orioles. I would prefer the options you're getting from the Yankees in terms of Will Warren and even Emerson Hancock over Marcus Stroman or some of these options from the Orioles.
Yeah, I was just going to look at that as well. Trevor Rogers,
mm-hmm.
I remember him. He was okay with the Marlins for a couple of years, but looks like...
Great first name.
He's injured. Great first name. Of course. What's funny is I feel like the Orioles have a really strong bullpen. We mentioned this too last week with Felix Bautista back, but they have a lot of strong arms. But comparing that to their starters, it doesn't look great. And they missed out on Burns, obviously, mm-hmm. and didn't really replace him at all. So,
you know, it's interesting. Interesting you mentioned their bullpen, because Felix Bautista, yes. Sir Anthony Dominguez, former closer. Keegan Aiken, who is a converted starter who did really well out of the bullpen last year in a short stint and even got a few save opportunities at least. Yennier Cano, who's a former closer. Gregory Soto, who's a former closer. So you're getting like five guys deep who you can trust or at least have been trusted at some point at the end of games. So definitely a strong bullpen and probably a popular bullpen in saves holes leagues.
Yeah. Soto was on the Tigers at one point, wasn't he? Didn't he get some saves?
Yes, he was. That's where he started.
Tigers. Yeah.
Started there, and then they traded him to the Phillies, and now he is on the Orioles. So, all right. So those are our pitcher injuries. We went over them really quick. We spent a lot of time on injuries last time, and I'm feeling some more positivity this time around, Nate. So let's talk about some people who are doing well, some interesting players. Jack Caglianone, the reigning first round pick of the Royals. Sorry, it's been a long day. Reigning first round pick of the Royals.
Yes.
Ninth overall, if I'm not mistaken, has been doing very well in spring training. He was a two-way player when he was at Florida. Last I saw, they didn't close the door on pitching, but I'm pretty sure with this spring training performance, they're just going to shut the door pretty hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And say, hey, just hit the ball.
Well, he has been an absolute monster. yesterday, let's see, 444 foot home run off Aaron Civale, 114.6 mile per hour exit velocity. And that was his third home run already of the season. He has over a 2.0 OPS, and has just looked like a monster, which makes me think, A, what is his ceiling? And then B, how quick do you think he can make it up to the majors?
Both good questions. And just to jump in, as we're talking, I got an alert on my phone. Gerrit Cole will receive Tommy John surgery tomorrow. Tuesday.
There it is.
Jeff Passan tweeted that. But anyway, we can't get away from the injuries, Nate. We tried.
We can't escape them.
So the thing with Caglianone is that he has a ton of power, like lots and lots of power. And he has a better hit tool than some of those guys who are big power. Like we talked about Davison De Los Santos. And actually, I was writing up the Marlins system, and I'm trying to think of what is Davison De Los Santos. And he's probably somewhere in between Jake Berger and Rhys Hines. And Jack Caglianone is above that. Okay, so I'm not out here to say that he's not a great prospect who could turn into something, but
yeah,
he's a high power first based prospect. And that is kind of interesting, especially when you're talking about the Royals, at least in my mind. He played in high A, and then he was in the AFL. I don't think that they're just going to be like, hey, you played in high A, that's enough for us. We're going to get you out of camp. You're going to be a Kansas City Royal in 2025 from the jump.
I think he probably heads to pretty extreme.
Probably heads to double A, maybe triple A if they're feeling aggressive with him. I mean, he certainly played his way to maybe getting a chance at triple A to start the year. They also have Vinny Pasquantino at first base. So they're not hurting for a first baseman right now. And that plays into this equation. And so maybe you think DH, but I mean, Roster Resources, Jonathan India DHing right now. You could move Michael Massey out of the lineup probably, or Michael Garcia. Like there's options for when he's ready. And this is from a limited looks at him. I do worry about his ability to consistently hit the ball. He hits the ball hard when he barrels it. Don't get me wrong. And there's plenty, and that'll play. Like his power is absolutely going to play. But in terms of consistently getting to his barrels, I don't know if I see it as much. So I've been kind of lower on him in first year player drafts. And I haven't really been going after him a whole lot. I have open universe leagues where I actually traded him away just because I thought I could cash in. Unfortunately, his stock's only gone up with his performance, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I think he has to prove he's going to be able to hit professional pitching consistently, not just in high A, or not just in spring training, I should say. In high A, he hit 241, 20% strikeout rate, 5% walk rate, couple home runs in 126 at bats. So I think they're just going to want to see consistency, and that doesn't close the door for maybe the end of 2025, but I think you're looking more towards 2026 for when he would be a legitimate option for the Royals.
Yeah, I think you're probably spot on there. The other problem, it's not a problem, but for him getting playing time, it's a problem. Salvador Perez, in addition to catching, has played first base, has DH'd. And so, you know, he's getting up there in years, but he's hasn't slowed down yet. Yeah, and so that's another person that would be blocking him. So has been absolutely fun to watch, though.
Oh yeah,
putting on a show.
Oh yeah. So and again, the long home runs are fantastic. Torkelson's hit a few home runs. He's been on a power surge lately too, so you know, things happen.
Yeah.
Javi Baez has a couple home runs. I mean, granted, they were off of like 90 mile an hour fastballs from double A pitchers, but you know,
I had not seen that. That's funny.
Things happen in spring training. That's part of the fun of spring training. Another guy you wanted to talk about, Nate, is Chandler Simpson, outfield prospect for the Rays. So I really don't know what his numbers are offhand, but I know that he's been lighting things up in a fun way, one way or another.
Yeah, so he said that I'm just gonna pull up his spring training stats here, but it's interesting to try to figure out how to value him. And his speed is his calling card. He recently said that he is the fastest man in baseball. He would beat Ellie De La Cruz in a race. He said he would definitely beat any big leaguers in a race. And last year, he had 104 steals. That was in high A and double A. So,
is that a lot?
Obviously, an elite skill.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we value that when it comes to fantasy, right? And he's going to at least have to hit the ball, play some defense if he wants to have a shot at the majors, because he's not going to be able to DH and he's going to have to play in the field. So it's an elite skill to keep an eye on. I still don't think it's someone you'd be rostering, but it just catches your eye because it's like, you know, such an outlier.
It is. He's kind of, his profile is kind of one of extremes. Good contact, really good speed. And then what's going to happen? So, mm-hmm. You know, Baseball America gives him 70 contact, 80 speed, but then, you know, it's 20 power, 45 field, 30 arm, right? So it's a really interesting profile. You want to believe in the speed, and if he's stealing bases like that, then yes, he's somebody you want to roster in fantasy. He will absolutely like win you a category by himself. He also hit 350 last year between high A and double A, which again, great. So the problem is, where does he go from being a average stabilizer who can steal bases in probably deeper leagues to somebody you want to roster? Just again, shout out Baseball America. They say the hope is that he turns into like a Juan Pierre type, which is interesting. I also want to point out the last fastest man in baseball that we were all excited about was, in my head, Billy Hamilton.
Exactly. Yes.
So there's kind of, without him being able to contribute fantasy baseball wise, I'm talking just fantasy baseball right now, without him being able to contribute to power or OBP, or I mean, likely even, you know, the RBIs, and without him being able to consistently contribute in certain categories beyond just average and stolen bases, that makes his, for me, that makes his profile very, very tricky and one that is hard to gauge and even probably even hard to roster at a certain point.
I had another name come to mind, which is D. Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, speed, hit, average, hit for average, but like absolutely no power. And I also, I just went and looked up D. Gordon and Juan Pierre on Baseball Reference. They had the exact number of career home runs. I'm going to have you do a guessing game, Trevor. How many career home runs do you think they had?
How many years do you have? How many years each of them played?
So Juan Pierre played for 14 years and D. Gordon played for 11 years.
Can you tell me the amount of home? No, I'm kidding. Let's see. I don't want to like, I feel like I'm going to underguess so hard.
A lot of steals. They have a lot of steals. A
lot of steals. You know what? I did this when we were talking Giancarlo's stolen bases. Can you give me, for one of them, can you give me career or like season high home runs for one of them?
Okay. I'll give you the highest number between the two. Let me look.
Okay. All right. This is prime podcasting hours.
This is D. Gordon. Twice he hit the four home run mark.
Okay. 33.
That's pretty good. I would have never guessed as low as the right answer, which is 18 home runs. 18
career
home runs.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that wild?
So that means he, D. Gordon had 10 home runs outside of two seasons.
Yeah. Isn't that okay, wild?
Interesting. Yeah. And I was worried I was going to underguess, and I was sitting at 30 the whole time.
Both of them, I mean, were good players. I mean, both, we remembered them and a couple all-star bids, but I think that's probably his best case scenario. Maybe he can take advantage of the steel, you know, the friendly steel rules now for even more.
Right.
But it's hopefully that and not Billy Hamilton end of things.
I wonder how automated ball strikes will play into the stealing thing, though. Because you're not trying to steal strikes anymore in frame strikes. It's the thing is there, so catchers can just preset to throw, honestly.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that.
I hadn't thought about it either till just now. Also, I think we are like molding our podcast in front of the listeners' ears because we should start doing Guess the Stat along with Defend Yourself.
They're really good segments.
We have segments on segments growing. So anyway, yeah, Chandler Simpson, he may get time. I mean, I was looking at the roster resource for the Rays, and like Johnny DeLuca's in the outfield right now, and there seem like there might be one or two other spots if he's going to hit enough, and that is just a big what if, and also probably depends on your league. If you're an OBP league, then I'm not as concerned about Chandler Simpson as if I'm in an average league. Especially until he proves he can get on base enough to steal. And if he does, if he's big on steals, then he's somebody you're going to want because he will be a huge a contributor to that category.
Yeah, then he's valuable for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So a couple of interesting prospects there. What about the Pirates? We talk about their pitching a lot. We talk about their pitching so much. Their pitching is so good.
It is really, really good. Yeah. I mean, beyond the studs, there's a couple of other guys that you need to know about. But the question is, will they also ever get offense? Which I'm not sure about that. But should we head for a break here, Trevor, before we dig into the Pirates?
Yes, we will. We'll take a quick time out here on Coffee Talk. We come back, we're going to talk Pirates pitching. We'll be right back for Nick Kosher. My name is Trevor Huth. Coffee Talk is a part of the Pitcher List Podcast Network. And welcome back to Coffee Talk on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. My name is Trevor Huth, of course, joined by Nate Kosher. We were starting a topic about the Pirates, and then we looked at the clock and thought,
yeah,
let's hold on a minute. So the Pirates pitching is really good. You mentioned the studs, right? You have potential, arguably SP1 in all of baseball, if not SP2. Okay, depending on how you want to rank Skubal and Skeens. So that's the top. And then you have Jared Jones, who proved himself to be valuable last year when he was healthy. Then you have Mitch Keller. And then you have Bubba Chandler coming up. And then you have Thomas Harrison coming up, both of whom should be ready at some point in 2025, if not, you know, from the start. And right now, the back of the rotation is projected to be Andrew Heaney and Bailey Falter. So they have quite a bit of options.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is presently penciled in Falter and Heaney, who Andrew Heaney has shown flashes. He's average at best, I guess. Falter is not very good. So I would think Chandler's going to make definite noise this year. And he's going to be taking starts on those guys in it won't take that long of time. But like you said, beyond that, I think people are actually forgetting about Harrington. And that's someone we talked about. I think we've talked about him once before when we're looking at our top 100, but someone who throws strikes, has a bunch of pitches. His stuff isn't quite as electric as Skeens. And I think no matter who the pitchers are on this roster, having Skeens, you could forget about them, even if they had a fellow all-star on the team. And I think Harrington will be, you know, good in his own right, but the ceiling is so high that you sort of forget about these additional pitchers. And it makes me think of like the Atlanta Braves or in the 90s or the New York Mets, you know, in like the 2010s, 15s there when they had all the starters. And knock on wood, they all stay healthy.
Well, and there's two other pitchers, honestly, that we could mention, prospect pitchers, who are in AAA. They're coming off of injured seasons. They've had injury problems in the past, but Braxton Ashcraft and Mike Burrows. Both of them have posted pretty high strikeout rates all throughout the minors. Braxton Ashcraft has nasty stuff, but again, can't stay healthy. Neither one is pitching in spring training like they're going to be taking a job out of the gate. But with injuries, you know, because injuries do happen, they might be called upon. Because one thing that Ashcraft and Burrows have that Chandler and Harrington don't, which isn't everything, but it's not nothing, is a 40-man spot. So
good point.
If they need someone, they may just say, hey, we'll put someone on a 60-day IL, we'll DFA somebody, and here comes Bubba Chandler. Or they may say, let's let Bubba Chandler make a few starts in AAA, get his bearings a little bit more, and here comes Braxton Ashcraft, here comes Mike Burrows. They could also wind up in the bullpen. It's kind of a fluctuation, but there's two more potential starters that the Pirates have that we aren't really going to get talked about because you have Harrington and you have Chandler on top of Skeens, Jones, Keller.
And I was just looking at their average age here. Skeens is 22. Jared Jones is 23. Where's Bubba Chandler? He's probably 21 or 22, I would guess.
Bubba Chandler is 22.
22, okay.
Harrington is 23. Ashcraft and Burrows are 25.
So they're so young. Mm-hmm. Like I said, you worry about the injuries, but also, can the Pirates, or the Pirates the type of team that can keep all of these guys together long term? I also have doubts that they can do that, and especially Skeens. You'd think some of these larger market teams eventually are going to be calling his name and trying to pull him a little bit farther east. The Yankees, Red Sox, Mets. You know, we'll see what they end up doing with contracts and extensions, but that's something in the future for fantasy purposes. I mean, slight differences could be had, but
I'll tell you,
Pirates. What. Yeah, I don't. Do you have a lot of trust in the Pirates?
I don't know where their hitting's going to go. They're a weird team. I thought this as I was writing them up for Fantrax. They're a weird team because they have very high variance players that could be depth for them. You know, like they bring in Joey Barton, and he's your catcher now. You have Andy Rodriguez coming off injury, who could probably play catcher, first base, mm-hmm. whatever. Second base, you have, you still have Henry Davis, who you could have play catcher, who's a former first overall pick.
Yeah.
Second base, you have, you know, Nick York, you have Emmanuel Valdez, you eventually have Termar Johnson, you have Nick Gonzalez currently playing there. There's just these guys who are, you know, Leover Preguero is on the 40 man and can play around the infield. Jack Suwinski, Jihuan Bey, like they just have all these guys who theoretically could start in their lineup. It's not, you know, doesn't mean they're going to win games, but theoretically could start in their lineup. And it's all just depth at this point, but it could either be really good or really bad. It's boom or bust, which is really interesting. I don't know. It's just interesting in my mind and makes him not trustworthy on the offensive side. On the pitching side, yeah. I mean, give me Skeens, give me Jones, give me Keller, give me Bubba Chandler. I waffle back and forth on if I would take Thomas Harrington, honestly, in redraft leagues. I kind of want to see how it looks at the major league level first. In dynasties, I absolutely, but in redraft, I kind of want to see how it looks first and then potentially go after him next year. But I guess it depends. What I was thinking, Nate, if you could put the Orioles offense with the Pirates pitch, you might have, I can't think of two other teams that you mash together in terms of what they have and what they need to make a better team.
That would be a great team. Baltimore Pirates or Pittsburgh Orioles or some sort of mashup name like celebrity couples have.
Right. I mean, seriously, there probably is another one that could be as good. I just that would be a crazy good team and a really fun team if you really think about it. So
it's funny because we just looked at looking at them back to back. You really see where the gaps are.
Right. So with that, you want to talk overrated or underrated prospects, Nate. So I'll let you introduce this one because I know this is something you're bringing in.
Yeah. So yesterday I was lucky enough to be part of Podapalooza, which is put on by Justin Mason. 2 days of fantasy baseball guests and discussions, et cetera. And so I was on with a panel talking prospects. And so I'm stealing an idea from there, what we talked about yesterday.
Borrowing.
Thank you. Borrowing an idea of underrated prospects versus overrated prospects. And we said that could mean a few different things. It doesn't mean that these players are terrible. It could be not enough people are talking about them. It could be maybe they're getting a little bit of too big of hype for whatever reason, or maybe they're coming back from an injury that we've forgotten about them, et cetera. So there's a few people that I pointed out for underrated, overrated. So I don't know if you've thought of any, Bun, or if I should just jump in.
You go ahead. I will be locked and loaded, ready to go. You go ahead.
Okay. So the reason that I was talking about this, so let's go overrated first. So
and this is for fantasy, by the way, right?
Yes. Okay. For fantasy purposes. And some of these guys may not be totally relevant in 2025, but down the road, they are prospects you should know about. And we're going to talk about how they should be rated. So the first one, overrated, Jacob Mizorowski. Now, you can probably figure out why he would be overrated, but he has crazy stuff, throws 100 miles an hour, has all these pitches. But I think what we've talked about with him before is even that he has a lot of reliever risk and he hasn't necessarily even shown that his control is there. So people want him to be a starter. He has more fantasy value, right? If he's a starter, and they haven't completely, the Brewers moved off of him being a starter. But I think there is doubt that he ever figures out these control issues and these walk issues and that he harnesses his power, A, and then B, being moved from a starter to a reliever, he'd lose a lot of value long term. Right. And so that's the first one.
I have a wild Jacob Mizorowski comp.
Okay.
Joe Boyle.
Oh. Yeah.
If he can be in the zone, it's going to be very, very good. But can he?
I saw some videos of Boyle today actually pitching in spring training.
Well, and Boyle's with the Rays, who promote just throw it down the middle and let him hit it. And I think that's going to be good for him.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. That is a good comp. Last year, Boyle with the A's, 6.42 ERA, but I would think he's going to be better with the Rays because they know what to do. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's fun. Mizorowski, 6'7", throws 100 miles an hour. He's near or on 100 top 100 lists, and I think he was toward the end of MLB 100. So it's just something to think about long term, and something to evaluate. Second, I have three total. Second one is Xavier Isaac, and I think someone else had him on their list too, and I had stolen it first. But once again, someone with an elite skill, which is power. But if you dig into statistics a little bit further, he had a 40% K rate last year in AA, which really makes you kind of step back and think, ooh, yikes. So the question sort of like, will he figure out control for a pitcher? Will he figure out the strikeouts for a hitter? So in high A, he hit .287 with 15 home runs. He moves to double A last year. He only hit .211 with 3 home runs. And as I mentioned, that 40% strikeout rate. Now, they did send him to the Arizona Fall League for some additional reps, and he's still highly thought of, but I kind of have a red flag because of that strikeout situation.
Do you want to know something interesting about Xavier Isaac and his hit tool?
Yes.
Baseball America rates his hit tool as 55. Give him an above average hit tool. I am with you on the strikeouts. They're concerning. I understand where all that's coming in. However, very to me, I really like the evaluators at Baseball America.
We know the power's there, right?
Just a preference, right? So the power's there for sure. They give him a 55 hit tool. And that's really interesting to me because, as you mentioned, he had a lot of strikeouts. They were saying that there was something in the timing of his swing, not to get into the nitty gritty, that caused him to miss a lot and to have his timing be off. So that's really interesting. And this year could be really fun or not fun for him, depending on how it goes.
I was going to say that sounds like a going deep article, actually. But I think, this is kind of going to be a make or break it year for him and how his name continues to rise on prospect lists. But depending on where it goes, then you can make a move. Maybe you want to trade for him or you want to trade him. Last one I had is actually a Pirate, and that's Termar Johnson. Is it Termar or Termar? Do you know how to say his name?
Termar.
Exactly. Termar. So, speedster, can hit, first round draft pick. Have you ever looked or dug into his stats, though?
I have.
In the minors, he's a career 239 hitter, which that raises some red flags. And I was just thinking, is this guy potentially overrated?
Might be. I just remember his draft cycle. That was the first draft cycle that I like really paid attention to. And his bat speed just looked like something special. So I have problems not believing in Johnson. But you're right. The stats tell me that I really shouldn't in a lot of ways. So, certainly interesting. The one thing I will say when it comes to Termar Johnson, is that he's only 20 years old and he was in AAA last year. And I know you want him to have a higher average. He still has really good walk rates and his strikeout rates aren't astronomical. They were, but he's worked to bring them down. So he was 15 home runs, 22 steals with a 15% walk rate and a 21% strikeout rate last year. And that was that was mostly in high A, but he did have a 14 game stint in double A. So he's still very young.
He's young. Yeah. He's definitely young for his level and those numbers. You're right. That doesn't scare you. The strikeout rate.
And it's not an overmatched 230. You know what I mean? Like it's not 230, especially for a guy who's not hitting 40 home runs, but it's not an overmatched 230 from a guy who's pretty young. You're right. The stats are, he might be a little bit overrated. He might need more seasoning. He might need more time, but certainly not someone, I don't know. Like I said, I have trouble not believing in him. He was like one of the top guys from that first draft class paid attention to. So
MLB has him number 3 for the Pirates. And I guess part of it is for me, I guess he would get steals still, no matter what. If he hits enough to get on base, he'd have steals, but he's not going to have a slugger amount of home runs, but he could still have 20 home runs, 15, 20 home runs. So I was just researching some guys, and that scared me a little bit, but right. He is young. He's pretty young.
All right, so I'll add one to the overrated prospects list. We're going to take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll do underrated prospects, and then I have like 4 trades if we can get to them for defend yourself. I was busy. So the guy that I'm going to add to the potentially overrated is Emmanuel Rodriguez from the Twins. He's a guy who everyone likes because he walks at an insanely high rate, and he has some really good power. I'm not going to put it past him. He doesn't have these tools and these things that, you know, are interesting, especially in terms of fantasy. He hit 280 last year, mostly in double A. Once he got to triple A, it was 217, but his walk rate was over 20%. He also struck out about 30% of the time, only hit 9 home runs too. So when I say he has power, the power is real. It's just, can he get to it? And my thing with him, he's just so like, there is an argument to be made about being patient versus being passive when you are looking at a guy who draws a lot of walks and doesn't swing a lot. If you're patient, you're waiting for a pitch. If you're passive, you're just not swinging, basically. I mean,
right.
Probably more to it than that. But to me, Emmanuel Rodriguez has always been passive. He has a 20% walk rate, but he's just maybe too selective. He just doesn't swing a whole lot. And when he does swing, it seems like he's not making a whole lot of contact. And if you look at the numbers, his zone contact rating is not good. When he does swing. So if I'm the Twins, I'm saying be more aggressive, because the more he swings, the more he's probably going to, you know, hit the ball, but it just doesn't seem like he wants to swing a whole lot. And I thought that when I saw him in high A a couple years ago, and it's just kind of continued on for me. So he's a guy who's knocking on the door of the major leagues.
Yeah, he is.
Triple A, and you know, you think he's going to be in Minnesota at some point. And if he can walk, great. You know, OBP help, maybe get you some power. But I just don't know if the bat's going to play as well as it does for where he's rated. He's a top 20 prospect in fantasy and in real life. Like, he's a guy. He's supposed to be a dude. And I just don't see it playing that well, because I don't know if he can hit the ball well enough for it to play.
It was interesting you said Minnesota Twins passive versus selective, you know, and or patient. And it made me think of Joe Mauer, because he would irritate fans by taking pitches and just trying to get on base any way he can. And I think sometimes he suffered from that same thing of just put the ball in play. He would work the counts, you know.
Right. And can you foul pitches off with two strikes? That plays into it. But again, if he's swinging twice a game and can't hit the ball, that's going to be a problem, is the point I'm making. And I hope I'm wrong. I hope he's great. He has the tools to be fantastic. It's just, will he hit enough? I don't know. So on that, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk about some undervalued prospects. And then Nate can rip me apart for some trades I made. And that is all coming up here. Coffee Talk, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. And welcome back to Coffee Talk on the Pitcherless Podcast Network. My name is Trevor Huth. I'm joined by Nate Kosher. We were just talking some prospects who we think might be overrated. Now, what about the prospects who need more love, who are underrated? This is my favorite category. I have a bunch of names in mind.
Oh, good.
I don't know if you have some you want to rattle off that you shared during Potapalooza.
I'll just go one name, and then you can share yours. And the name I shared was Rhett Lauder. And sort of for the reasons we were talking about the Pirates before, just being overshadowed by bigger names such as Skeens, Bubba Chandler, just big stars that are prospects. I feel like people have forgotten about Rhett Lauder. He doesn't throw quite as fast, but he can hit the mid-90s. And his big thing is control. So you know he's going to throw strikes. Yes, he plays for the Reds, but I think that he has a high floor because of that control. And last year he looked good. He started 6 games. He looked good. The Reds need starters. So I just think people have forgotten about him and they should not have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately I traded him to in the league I had him, but absolutely. I've liked him since he was back at Wake Forest. And he and Chase Burns, both Wake Forest products, are going to be really fun.
Oh, Burns,
especially when you're adding him to Hunter Green, in that Reds rotation one day. So, and one day soon too, for both of them. Yeah. Not a bad name. I'll stick with a pitcher that I've talked about, so I'm not going to dig too far in, but we are not talking about how good Noah Schultz is. He's generally ranked in like the teens or the 20s. I have him ranked 6th. I am all in. Like, he's SP3 in terms of prospects for me, behind Roki and Jobe. And I don't know, man. I just am all in for him.
You've stated in your love.
Anyway, another guy, this guy's not, he's probably a few years off, but Michael Arroyo, he is back end top 100 on most lists. I have him 36. I believe that he has a fantastic hit tool and can cover the zone really well. And I also believe he is adept at lifting the balls that are supposed to be lifted for home runs. So I think he's going to be able to contribute in a lot of categories and hit the ball with consistency. So again, don't want to dive too far in there because he's a couple years out, but he's a guy that I'm definitely in on more so than most people. And you know, I'll go one more because we, nope, I have to go two more. I'm so sorry. The other one is Johnny Farmello. He tore his ACL, but fantastic athlete. Oh, yeah. Most people have him top 100, but I think he's not being talked about enough. Still a couple years off, but definitely a prospect that I think is going to, could rather explode this year if he stays fully healthy. Now, the guy that I want to talk about that is probably more helpful this year, Moises Chace. I can't get enough of this dude.
Yes.
He is last year after he got traded from Baltimore to Philly in double A for the Phillies through 19 innings with a 16 K per nine and a 3.66 ERA. I wrote his scouting report for Prospects Live. I love him. I have been seeking him out in any league I can get him, and it's getting tougher and tougher because the word's getting out, but he is easily a top 100 prospect for me. I think I have him at 86, and he's definitely somebody who I think could be helpful sooner than later. Somebody said they reminded him of like Devi Garcia before he fell off. If you remember the prospect track Devi Garcia was on, but I don't know. Chace has just got some really good stuff. Nick liked him when we watched prospects at PitchCon. So there's a lot going for him here at Pitcherless, but Chace is a guy that I'm really interested in.
Yeah. The first I had heard of him was when you and Nick were doing your segment. I tried to go get him and someone had already snatched him up. But I did see the Phillies sent him to double A just okay. Over the
weekend. It makes sense. I mean,
and so yeah, I think that makes sense. He'll probably be definitely up in triple A later this season, but yeah,
stones throw away at that point,
right? I agree with you. We probably shouldn't be telling people about him, but they're gonna steal him away. But he's
that's
good.
Our job, yeah. Mate. That's what
that
we do. All right, so I will see how much time we have for these trades. I know defend yourself is something we like to do. Let's start with the big one. I got Paul Skeens in a trade. Now, I am in this is a free league, so people like to just throw players around. It's not as competitive as when you're spending, you know, too much money to be in a fantasy baseball league.
Yes.
A lot of times I go, hey, can I have this reliever? And they go, well, do you want to give me one of your best players? And I think they're kidding, but also I'm like, not – really? So that's kind of what happened here. I was asking for something. I don't even remember what it was. The guy goes, well, you could give me Junior Caminero. And I was like, okay, if I'm going to trade your Caminero, I'm going to get Skeens. I'm going to get Paul Skeens. He goes, yeah. So Junior Caminero and Bubba Chandler. I'm like, yes, I will do that 100%. So I traded Junior Caminero and Bubba Chandler, and I got Paul Skeens.
Okay, so this reminds me of the Roky Sasaki trade from a couple episodes ago that I pulled off, but I think this is a better trade because Skeens has already proven himself, and I feel like you didn't have to give up. I feel like that's not that much to get him. I mean, yes, Caminero gonna probably be a stud. Chandler could also be a stud, but they haven't really proven it yet. Skeens, I mean, the season he had last year, I mean, it was like after five starts, it's like, is this guy a top 10 pitcher in baseball? You know? So I think we can defend any trade in which you're receiving Paul Skeens ahead of the 2025 season.
Well, if to make matters more fun, who did we, I mean, if you had to list your top four pitchers, starting pitchers for redraft leagues, who do you, or for baseball, I guess, in, you know, who's SP1 through four for you?
Good question.
And I guess I can't say this now because one of them that I was thinking you'd say got hurt, but.
So, yeah, I don't
know.
It
doesn't have to be in order. You can just.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know of my exact order. I'd have to think further of that, but it's got to be Skubal, Skeens. Mm-hmm. I think I'd put Corbin Burns there still.
Interesting.
And who's number four?
Well, this, what I was going to say, falls apart now that you put Burns in there, probably.
Well, I feel like, I don't know. Okay.
So where I stood when I made this trade, and this is before George Kirby got hurt, just for George Kirby's on the team, just to throw that out there. But this is before Kirby got hurt. If I were to rank them 1 through 4, I'd go Scooble 1, Skeens 2, Crochet 3, and Kirby 4. Right? Those would be my top four. This team has Scooble, now Skeens, and I have Kirby.
That is nasty. I Crochet was the name who I'd put up there. And now I guess Zach Wheeler. He's like boring compared to the others.
But like at this point I have three of what I would consider the top four pitchers in the game. And then, you know, obviously Kirby goes down and I think I can survive it because I still have Scooble and Skeen, so hopefully they stay healthy.
That's a pretty nasty lineup.
It's not bad, right? I've had worse for sure. So other trades that I have made recently, same league where I have those three starters. I was just trying to do some trades. I traded Shota Imanaga, Jacob Mizorowski, and a 2027 second rounder. And I got Bryce Miller, Theo Gillen, and Ralphie Velasquez.
That one's interesting.
Yeah.
So I'll explain why. Well, we just talked about Mizorowski. So you moved him, which I think that's probably a good move while his value and hype is high, right? Before we'll see what he does this season. I don't know if I like Ralphie Velasquez.
That trade was not for the prospects. That trade was for Bryce Miller. Let's be honest.
Okay. Well, yes.
Theo Gillen's good. Ralphie Velasquez is probably good.
I thought you wanted to talk about the prospects.
I mean, look, Ralphie Velasquez is a good hitter, you know, hit tool power, you know, probably be a decent fantasy first baseman. Not a guy that I would be upset if I have to cut by the end of the year. Theo Gillen is arguably a top 100 prospect for the Rays system at a shortstop, so not bad. But realistically, I feel like I've set myself up really well for pitching in that league. So I think I sent it to you, but my pitching before Kirby got hurt was Skeens, Scooble, Kirby, Hunter Green, and then Bryce Miller. And that doesn't include the fact that I have Reese Olson. I have Brian Bello, if you're still a Bello believer. And I also have Yuri Perez, who is supposed to be coming back.
That's insane. Well, I also saw you have Emmanuel Class A, just the top closer in baseball.
I did just trade for Emmanuel Class A as well. So I'm feeling good about my pitching in that league. I mean, and realistically, my prospects have dwindled. I had really good prospects. Now they're gone, and I'm down to having Walker Jenkins, Max Clark, maybe Cam Smith, if you count him, and then a bunch of guys who I'm hoping turn into something.
So you made the move for the major leagues.
Yeah. Yeah.
And putting that all together. Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm. The pitching, I no one can touch my pitching. My hitting is still a little suspect. I do have hitter Shohei Ohtani and I have Bobby Witt. But there's still some suspect parts to my hitting that I'm working on. I do have Dylan Cruz too. Like there's some really this is a really fun team. This is like my crown jewel best team I've ever put together.
Yeah.
All right. I think we got time for all right, here's a quick one. All right, this one was just straight up Grayson Rodriguez for Riley Green. I got Riley Green, favorite player, didn't have a share. Now I have a share. So, you know, think what you will of that one. It is what it is. It's a rebuilding team. I don't really care. I'm working more towards prospects, and now I have a player. That, you know, I have my guy.
Right. I can see that the little bit of when it's your favorite team, right, there's more value.
Yeah,
there's more value to you. That one we could probably argue further, but absolutely. I understand why you did it.
Absolutely. But the one I really want to get out before we talk, because last time we talked about the value of Garrett Crochet. How do you trade Garrett Crochet? Well, this is the same team I just traded Grayson Rodriguez and got Riley Green. I came in last place last year. My roster is not that great. So I'm trading Garrett Crochet. And I got Luis Castillo with the intention of flipping him. I haven't done it yet, but I got Luis Castillo with the intention of flipping him. And then I got Bubba Chandler and Noah Schultz for Garrett Crochet.
Okay. So you finally got some serious offers. I know last week we were talking about you were getting, you know, two quarters on the dollar offers for Crochet. You love Noah Schultz.
Love Noah Schultz.
Right. And so if you can acquire Noah Schultz, and who is the third piece?
Bubba Chandler.
Oh, Bubba Chandler. Yeah. That's
so,
yeah. I mean, that's what you could say. You have one. Castillo is a legit starter on your roster right now. Maybe SP2 at worst, SP3 maybe.
And he's fine.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
I'm looking to flip. All right. I don't care about winning this year. This is still just me collecting. Like you continue. I'm sorry.
Well, I was gonna say the assets that you gained make a lot of sense, because Crochet also is someone maybe that is value. We don't know what's gonna happen. We think he's gonna be an ace, mm-hmm. right? He looks like he could be an ace. But there's a lot of hype, so maybe it is the right time to trade him if mm-hmm. you can bring in the people you brought in. Two arms who arguably could be as good as him someday, right? If they hit their mm-hmm. ceilings. Castillo, you could flip for whatever. That's a big trade. I think I like three of those. I don't know if I like the Riley Green.
I like the Riley Green. No, I understand. I get it. This also happened after the Grayson Rodriguez news. The other manager was fine with the potential injury.
Okay. But, yeah.
So here's my
thing. Some big trades though, Trevor.
There's
no doubt. You're moving some big names and big pieces. And
looking at what I gave up for Skeens makes me think that I didn't do well enough for the Crochet trade. Skeens happened after Crochet. Cause I definitely feel like I gave up more to get Skeens, which I guess you probably should. But I still feel like I've done well in terms of setting this team up the way I want to. So like at the major league level, I have Ezekiel Tovar is worth mentioning. Okay. Wyatt Langford, Jackson Merrill, Riley Green, Pete Carroll Armstrong. So there's some interesting parts there. Pitching wise, I'm kind of hoping Gavin Williams takes a step forward. I have a Ryan Kirkering. I mean, you know, that's my pitching's not really there, but now I have, in terms of pitching on my minor league roster, I have Noah Schultz, Moises Chassé, Cade Horton, Kumar Rocker, Chandler. And then in terms of hitting prospects that are notable, I mean, I have a lot of top 100 prospects here, but in terms of hitting prospects that are notable, Teron Lorenzo, if I want to talk catchers, I'll skip Jace Young, you know, Bryson Rayner and Cooper Pratt, Demetrio Crisantes. But I also have Nick Kurtz, Travis Pizana, and Sebastian Walcott.
Jeez. So holy cow.
Like I'm making these moves to get these high-end prospects because I'm kind of hoping to build it like I did in the other league where I just end up with high-end talent. And I'm okay. Like these leagues have been around for a while, and honestly, they're free leagues. I'm not paying anything. So if they break up and I never get there, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. So I'm trying to build these teams up in a certain way where I have longevity of winning with top-end talent. So we'll see what happens. I mean, like I said, sometimes I just make trades in these leagues because there's guys I want. So
you want them to peak,
right?
Peak at the right time. Yeah.
So it's not a terrible team. It's just not a winning team right now, and I'm okay with that.
It will be someday.
It will be someday soon. Hopefully, yeah. I mean, you think Bazana, Kurtz will be up soon. Walcott's going to take a little bit longer, but and then Schultz and Chandler should be up soon, and Kumar Rocker obviously, Cade Horton obviously. I mean, it's
those
a fun
are, yeah. Those are some killer names.
Those are my defend yourselves. You can go ahead and tell me where I went wrong. It's probably a lot of different places. I had fun this week though with all these blockbuster trades. I'm going to try to make smaller trades, hopefully, because those are fun too sometimes. But either way, Nate, we wish you a great trip to Arizona. Catch some good baseball. He will be back in a couple weeks. I'll be back with you next week. We are back on our weekly release schedule here for Coffee Talk. For Nate Kosher, my name is Trevor Huth. This has been episode 39 of Coffee Talk, part of the Pitcherlist Podcast Network.